Blog Talk Radio.
Truth. In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence by the military-industrial complex.
Are the Bible's prophecies today's reality?
This could be the sign that signals the return of Christ.
World leaders are working behind the curtains.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. Secret societies, secret oaths, secret proceedings.
Now, get ready for an hour of truth that will make you think. We'll examine Bible prophecy and see how close we are to the return of Jesus Christ for His church.
You're in the zone. Politics, Israel, the Middle East, the revised European superstate,
and more. All in the zone. This is the Prophecy Zone with your host, Phil Armstrong.
So this is Phil Armstrong, and we are here on the 29th of July, 2010. We're just going to talk to y'all just a little bit. We're not going to have a long show. And we are going to mostly talk about how Satan keeps us out of the kingdom of God. But we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Connecting the dots and showing you why we are more vulnerable than ever.
Greetings, fellow Americans. This is David Robertson, inviting you to come be a part of an American Warning Radio, Monday through Friday, 1 to 3 p.m. Central.
You've seen the pieces. Now, come see the bigger picture, an American Warning Radio, with your host, David Robertson, on this and many other networks that value liberty.
All they're getting is mainstream media stuff. That's all they're getting, including Fox News.
The American Warning Program with David Robertson, just a great show. All kidding aside, the numbers are really starting to go up on that program, and I think once people realize that that's on now live Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock on this very station, you're going to be tuning in a lot more. That guy makes a lot of sense, and he's really good at what he does.
Warning, America. Warning, America's habit forming. Sabbath habit forming. Use the truth carefully.
Get more information at anamericanwarning.com. That's anamericanwarning.com.
Bible lays out our future, and host Phil Armstrong examines what the Scripture tells of His coming every Thursday and Sunday at 7 on The Prophecy Zone.
What is the New World Order?
The people who are talking about the New World Order, Bible prophecy, may be in danger.
What do you need to be rapture ready?
I believe that the Bible interprets the Bible, and we have to stick with the Bible.
How much time is left?
See more at theprophecyzone.com and youtube.com/prophecyzone. Hear more here on Blog Talk Radio every Thursday and Sunday at 7 on The Prophecy Zone.
Who is the Antichrist? I believe the Antichrist will not be known until the tribulation period starts.
This is The Prophecy Zone.
Okay, back. I am coming to y'all from Spokane, Washington. We just thought we'd have a quick show today and talk about the latest deceptions of keeping people out of the kingdom of God. And there are many deceptions. There are many ways that we are kept from the kingdom of God. There are many ways we are kept from the influence, to influence others, rather. We're kept in a, what is called a funk, or a standstill. I feel like a funk. A lot of times we are kept in a position where we cannot be effective for the kingdom of God. And Satan likes to keep us thinking we're on the right track when we're actually on the wrong track. He likes to keep us engaged in meaningless affairs or rut in life. And if he gets us into a rut, then he has us where he wants us to be. Where does Satan, let's start with the unbeliever first. Where does Satan want the unbeliever to be? Well, Satan has not changed his devices. He is still the same, has the same techniques from 6,000 years ago. And it has not changed. Even if it's Egypt, ancient Egypt versus the United States, the kids are probably still doing the same thing the kids were doing back there. If you notice, the kids were disrespectful to the parents, unruly, boastful, proud, high-minded. Well, they're still the same way today. And our culture has not changed. What it says in Ecclesiastes, the more things go on, the more things end up being the same way. The more things change, the more things stay the same. We have to be careful. That's why God gives so many warnings for us to not be like the world. By the way, I'm in the park right now. I'm preaching the gospel. I decided to just go out the house and try to get out the norm. So I'm hoping you guys still hear me, this transmission. I decided to take off and just go to the park and sit down. I got my Bible with me. The Bible says we're not to be ashamed of the gospel. And that is something else besides what we're talking about today. That's a whole other lesson. Let's get down to the nitty-gritty that we are to be light and salt in this world, and we are not to be like everyone else. Now, for the unbeliever, the stated objective is for the unbeliever not to come to the cross. Therefore, he goes back to his bag of tricks from in the Garden of Eden. And if we look at the Garden of Eden, Satan had given Eve the illusion that she can sort of be like God. Now, I don't have my original Bible with me, so I kind of just took off without even thinking about it. But God will walk through the garden throughout the day, and he was talking to Adam and Eve after they decided to eat the fruit whatever. Everybody says it's fruit, but I don't believe it's any particular fruit that we have today. It's probably different. Anyway, the Bible says in Revelation 3:13, it says, "And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." So now she's blaming the serpent. See, the beautiful thing about today's culture is no one seems to know it's Satan. And that is one of his strongest devices. At least the woman knew that Satan was in action. But today, no one reads the Bible, so even God says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Now, if you're talking about the church in Israel, yeah, but particularly he can also say that the majority of the people that goes to church, that went to church even once in their life, they're probably not going now, and they probably considered the unsaved. But he can, God created all, so you can also say that, yeah, he can say technically my people, this is his people. I mean, he's created human beings. So he says my people perish for lack of knowledge. Now, does it mean the unsaved? No, probably in particular, but he's created all people. So if he's saying my people perish for lack of knowledge, well, they're perishing. So evidently, they're not his people, right? They're not the church, because I do believe once they've always saved, but I also believe that you can, technically on our surface, you can lose your salvation. So to someone on earth, yes, yeah, salvation is losable, because what you're doing is you're doing with the seed. When he's doing, he gave the seeds, the four seeds to hit the ground, and some fell on the wayside, and some fell on the dark. Now, you're going to tell me that we know that those people who attend church, who Satan stole the word from, we actually know that they were saved or unsaved. And not everybody that goes to church, you can say, was saved or not. I can't go to church and say, that person's not saved, that person's saved, that person's not saved. Only God knows. So once they've always saved, it's sort of a lost conversation. It's kind of like a lost battle. Why would we even have to bring it up if God only knows the beginning and the ending? We don't know the beginning and the ending. We don't know if an individual person is going to come back to God. They can be straight out crack at it, tried to serve God about 5 times in our eyes, and ended up being saved because when they came to their senses. But anyway, I jumped off. So let's read verse 13 again. It says, so this is Genesis 3, verse 13. It says, and the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman says, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. So now she's blaming the serpent. So like I said before, we don't have anybody else to blame but ourselves. Anyway, continuing on, verse 14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field, and upon the belly shalt thou go. Now he's talking to the serpent. So he's punished the serpent. So, let's go all the way. Well, now we're going to actually go back, and we're going to go to where Satan and the woman came in contact with each other the first time. It says, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest you die. Now, she had to add a little religion in there by saying, neither shall you touch it. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, which is a lie, for God doeth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Okay, so that was a lie itself. He's saying that God knows that if you eat that the tree of life, you're going to be as God. So that's a lie by itself. It says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eye and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband, which with her, and he did eat. Now, notice the husband never, he didn't say it at least, argue with the wife. That should tell a lot of men out there something. But anyway, let's go. Let's look at this more. Now, Satan lied to her, saying that she would be wise. Now, let's transfer that into our culture today. Now, a lot of people like to have fun, right? Okay, so if you become born again, if you start going to church, you might crumple your style because you can't have as much fun. So the devil, he uses a lot more weapons than he used to when he was on the earth. Now he uses, back in the day when he was in the garden, that's what I meant to say. He uses more techniques. He's got so many things to just offer human beings, including wisdom. But the main thing that he's actually including here is that they can be wise. And a lot of people believe that they're more wise, they're wiser than God. Because the foolish things of God is more wiser than the wisest things of men. Of course we know that, because he's the creator of that very man who thinks he's wiser than God. Now, Satan has everything to offer you today, folks. So if you're listening out here, I'm pretty sure Satan has many things to offer you. But Satan is crafty. He's cunning. He's very wise. And see, the only thing he has to keep you from is the cross. It's not like he has to keep you from any, he can even send you, he can even have you go into church thinking you're okay, and you end up being one of the tares in the church. Because all he has to do is draw confusion to you in the church and outside of the church. That is why in the parable of the seeds falling on different ground, the seed that fell and had no roots, soon as tribulation came, they were uprooted. And, since it had no root, the tribulation trials of this world made it ineffective, made an individual ineffective for the kingdom of God. Or for that matter, for salvation. But Satan has many things. I can just draw you a list of things. And some of these things are important to our lives. I mean, there are things that have to be done. I mean, for instance, gardening. Let's just look at gardening, for instance. You want to grow your own food. Gardening can take you away from God. That's, say you're a ballet instructor, your job takes you away from God. Let's say you're a doctor, a lawyer. Let's say you're a student. Let's say you want to hit the quiz. Of course, that's going to take you away from God. But let's say you want to, you have to pay bills, and you just found out that your whole bank account's been wiped out by the Internal Revenue Service. Well, those things will either push you to God or take you away from God. See, Satan wants to do is he wants to come in and rob you of your understanding of God's nature and his promises to help you in time of need. Because God is the provider, the mighty provider. He is the one that provides. Not you, not me, but God. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He is also the one who provides, and God is here to provide for us. And you notice that a lot of people in America, we take it for granted, but America was probably from the elbow grease and the hardship of the praying men and women back in the day. And still now today, because the only thing that's keeping America is God's mercy, and that is probably established through prayer. So when we look at the Word of God, God is our rock and our fortress, but he also is our provider, and he is our cleanser. He cleanses us of all unrighteousness. Now, let's look at what God wants us to do in the case of an attack from the enemy. Now, the attack from the enemy is always going to be on a human's life, but the thing is once Satan gets an unbeliever to not believe in God, he has done his job. The only thing he has to do is keep that believer, that person, potential believer, from believing. And he's going to do the same thing to that person over and over again. You see how he offered Eve wisdom. He said, you can be wise. He said, if God is afraid that you're going to be wise, by, you know, as a God, you know. So he kind of played with Eve once. And maybe for some strange reason, he's been watching them for so long that he realized that, hey, this lady, she wants a little knowledge. Maybe he's been overhearing their discussions about God himself. Oh, God is mighty and he's so smart. Wouldn't it be nice to be just that brilliant and that smart? You know, and maybe they, maybe that's what Satan acted on. But today, Satan acts on all our impulses. And let's talk about pornography for right now. Pornography is something that Satan has been acting on a long time. We think it's just come out of the woodwork just recently since internet and cable TV. But I got news for y'all. There's been pornography a long time ago. And that is what's one of the things that Satan's been using. And when I mean pornography, let's just say sexual sins, uncleanness, and then we go to talk about what God has given us to cure that. But sexual sins is an addiction, or even sex is an addiction. Let's say an individual, a girl, she's 23 years old, she's looking for a husband, she's kind of, you know, she's needs to be fulfilled and all this other, you know, things, and but she's also hard pressed with sexual lust. Let's just say that every guy that comes on TV that's nice looking, she's saliva at the mouth, but nobody knows it because it's secret. You know, no, I'm really, you know, I need somebody to satisfy my urges. Could that draw her to sleep with somebody else, or sleep, go to club, and just one night stand? Or if she has any form of self-respect, that she probably won't go sleep with anybody. But this is the 21st century. Now, even in the late 20th century, people were sleeping, you know. So sometimes people get lonely. Now, Satan, what he does is he draws loneliness to you. He said, well, how does he do that? Wow. Well, he plays with your emotions. Satan has he is the prince of the power of the air, and I think God said that for a reason. He's the prince of the power of the air, therefore he has control of the air. Now, God has given him his angel. He has supernatural abilities, so maybe he is tampering into the air where he can send messages to each human being. That's why the Bible talks about casting down imaginations and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God is the Word of God. So, therefore, if you know the Word of God, Satan is going to counter that with an attack from the air. Remember, he's the prince of the power of the air, so he's going to send messages. Now, I'm going to go ahead and read. I'm going to go ahead and read Ephesians, if I can. I don't have my original Bible, so please bear with me. We're going to read Ephesians chapter 6. Okay. The Bible says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take on the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Now, why does it say that? It says, above all, take on the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Because the wicked one, my friend, controls the air, and he sends messages objective to the Word of God. That's why you have to read the Word of God, because the Bible says, my people perish for lack of knowledge, is also distorted knowledge. Now, you notice he uses the word, and let me see if I can find it, because this Bible here is a Bible that I took overseas, and I've had it for a long time, but I don't know. This guy. Okay, here we go. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. The Bible says, casting down imaginations and everything that casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So if Satan's sitting in the air and he's shooting darts at your head, the Bible says that he does that, and we just read that in Ephesians chapter 6. And his objective is to knock you out with thoughts, and his objective is for you to inherit that thought as your own. See, that's why it's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing if you, the devil's the advocate. It's a beautiful thing how he's worked. The Bible says he's a crafty, sitting around like a royal lion seeking who he may devour. So he is a crafty by sense, because he has convinced the world that he does not exist. Or in the Christian's way of life, he's convinced them that Satan's more powerful than God. But as far as Satan being non-existent, well, if he's not existent, then people are going to adopt these thoughts as their own. They're gonna take on the thoughts that Satan gives us. There's a kid. Let's take him into our home. He's an orphan child. Let's take him into our house. So now he's our kid. Well, the thoughts that we bring into our lives are thoughts that Satan will bring, and he will be glad to bring those thoughts in your life. He has no reason to not bring them there. He loves to convince us that we are thinking these things. And it's the same thing. You can even look at Adam and Eve, conversation with the devil, and compare it to ours. But this time we can say to ourselves, well, maybe let's just pretend Eve didn't know the devil even existed. She was just inheriting these thoughts. Well, see, unfortunately, that's not the case. Eve knew that he was there because she blamed it on him. So, but. We don't, in this culture here, do not believe that Satan exists. So when you get really angry at somebody and you just tear up the house for no reason and they kick your butt out on the street, that, unfortunately, you may be feeling bad while you're in jail. And I'm not suggesting you blame Satan, but at the same time, you have to know that, you know, he has something to do with a lot of the things that we do as people. So keep that in mind. So what do we do as unbelievers? Of course, we get right with God. We give our lives to Jesus Christ, and we ask him to come into our heart. But if not, we open ourselves up for more prayer. As long as he can keep you bondage and in prison of sin, is going to keep you there. And we don't want to see people go to hell, but that will be your ultimate decision on your own to make. And the thing about America is that everybody in America has heard the word, the gospel of Jesus Christ, for themselves. And we cannot deny that case. And even if you went to a funeral, you've probably heard the gospel of Jesus Christ at one point or another. But the Bible says, who the Son sets free is free indeed. We are free because we keep our eyes on Jesus, and he is the author and finisher of our faith. And if we give our lives to Jesus, he can free you from those bondages But see, like a Christian, let's go to the Christian now. So the Christian, the way down these days, so-called Christian and true Christian, are way down with the weights and sins of our time. And believe it or not, the Bible says that we must cast off these or get rid of these things that easily beset us and let us run the race that we may finish it, because Jesus is coming back soon. And that's something I'm going to talk about in a few minutes, but Jesus is coming back soon. And the Bible says it's a purifying hope to be born again. Now, we're going to talk about 1 Peter chapter 4, and it says, "For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer shall live the rest of his time in the flesh of the lust of men, but to the will of God." I'm going to stop there, and we're going to go on in a second. But our minds these days is corrupted because television has helped, it's played a part, and movies and entertainment has played a part in our lives. And also hanging out at the mall at the wrong times when they're, and then tight pants don't do any good for brothers who are trying to do right by the Lord spiritually and cleansing, you know, and continuing to live a life that is pleasing to the Lord. We go to church these days, even some of the best churches, women are wearing tight pants. Now, it's not like tight pants is going to, he says, if you're that weak, you shouldn't be looking, you know, I mean, whose fault is it, the woman with the tight pants or the guy? When you sit up in church with tight pants, wow. The Bible never says thou should wear tight pants. It says thou should dress moderately. So if you and God's house and you're wearing tight pants, you need to chill out. And if you're going to church looking seductively, then that's another thing. But for the saved person who goes to church, goes to the mall, well, what time do you go to the mall? Or for a person who watches HBO late at night at 2:00 in the morning, or could you avoid that? I mean, could you be there at another time? Could you go to the Walmart at a certain time, different from where you normally go? I mean, a lot of times we put ourselves in these positions where we are more to blame than anybody else, you know. And as far as internet, only can we get on the internet. I mean, why are you sitting there on the, you know? It takes a lot to try to search for pornography. Now you say, well, the lust is taking me over. Well, God has provided a way out for that lust, and it's called His Word, and it's called the power of God, and focusing on the kingdom of God. Looking at when Peter went out on the boat and Jesus forgive me, Lord, to come on, he went out. When he took his eyes off Jesus, he sunk. And I'm not going to say any other method of getting right with God, but heavy prayer and be willing to serve God and all you can in your heart for Him to take the sin away. Now, don't sit there and say, well, God takes it away, and you really think in your mind, well, He's not really going to take it away that fast. Just count it that He's taking it away. And focus yourself and change the focus. Wherever, you know, throughout the pattern of your life, what do you focus on? I mean, and also, as far as like friends, let's look at friends, for instance. Are you able to, are you willing to drop a friend or two, or drop people that you hang with, some people that you hang with that has not like-mindedness, that do not want to serve God? Have you ever thought about just changing friends, maybe, changing the people that you hang out with, and I just repeated myself because I was looking at the batteries on my phone. Unfortunately, my batteries are low, so I'm at the end of the show of the hour. But God is good to us, and we should show him love. And the Bible says, talks about these things are great, which is hope, love, and faith, and the best one is love. If we love Christ, then it's going to show too. And like he says in 1 Peter 4, that we suffer with Christ, meaning that we are able to do, we're willing to do anything it takes to stop doing particular sins. Now, I am not saying that we can stop it ourselves, but I'm saying we are to focus on Christ. That is what we are to do. We are to focus on Christ, that he will break that sin. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. And see, society wants to send you to counseling and all this other stuff, but that won't be needed if we just will God's will. If we want God's will so bad, the love, you want us to say hope and love, and the main one is love. That means love God and your fellow man. If we love God so much, we will stop sinning the sins that we are doing today. That's God. That's really making him angry. And the church and the preachers today, believe it or not, they're church people who are church preachers who are just as much guilty as the people in the pew, because these preachers are going out having sex with their secretary while they have a wife and children, and not willing to take responsibility and be responsible towards God and love God to the point that they let, see what these people do is Satan attacks them just as quick as he attacks anybody else. And we have to understand that Satan is going to attack those preachers, because that's his territory. He sends demons after the layman, and he goes after, he's going to go after the preachers themselves. And a lot of people don't understand that God is going to go after, I mean, Satan is going to go after the bigger preachers. Now, we have to look at how we're living our life and how our culture is living our life. Because when our culture is numb and we are engulfed in our culture, we become numb. And when we become numb towards the things of our culture, then we will become numb towards the things of God. And let me explain what I'm trying to say. If when you are not paying attention to the culture, the world's effect on you, and you're trying to live a Christian life, and everybody that is trying to live that Christian life will depart from sin. That's what the Bible says. We must depart from sin. Now, what does that mean? Well, the sin that the Bible is talking about is the sin that is obvious. The Bible says fornicate, no fornicator, no adulterer, no extortioner, no drunkard. Those things that are very obvious, unless you repent, will not enter the kingdom of God. And then there's small ones, sins that's why God wants us to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And if we are not transformed, the Bible says, I beseech you, therefore, and this is Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brother, by the mercy of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We must be willing to be transformed in our minds. I mean, there's some people out there right now, as I speak, who think that they're okay, and they're not. Because what is happening is they might be perfectly morally, because there's a lot of sinners who is just as moral as a lot of Christians, and I can be a testimony to that. But what happens is they get caught up thinking that they got everything right when they don't. Now, the doctrine of Christ stands in Galatians chapter 1. It says, if anybody preach any other gospel but this one, he is cursed. Now, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. So if you're living for God, supposedly, if you think you are, you might want to make sure you're not living for Christ religiously. Because religiously is going through the motions, but you, and a good way to tell this is if your relatives are talking to you over the phone and you're ashamed to mention Christ, that might be a good sign that there's something wrong spiritually. Because if you're willing to lose a if you think you're going to lose a friend because you're speaking about God too much, you might want to check yourself. If you have a boyfriend or a girl, potential boyfriend or girlfriend, and they are of the world, and you pretend, and you're at least saying that you're a Christian, and you're trying to test the waters and say, I'm not going to mention Christ that much, but I'm trying to see if he's going to mention him. Trust me, if she's going to mention, trust me, they're not. So, there is many ways to trust. The Bible says the fruit on the tree. If the fruit is rotten, it's a rotten tree. If the fruit is good, it's a good tree. You can't go on saying, well, I'm saved, I'm right with God. But no, I don't want to hear anything about God. Our conversation is of heaven. Our conversation is in heaven. It says in Colossians, I'm going to go to Colossians chapter 3, if I can. I promise I'll bring my Bible next time. There it is. I'm just pausing. And Colossians chapter 3 is very interesting. It says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, when we know that who is our life, so Christ is that person's life. And it's going to refer to what is the consequences of Christ being our life. It says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, that means in the rapture of the church, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortified, that means gaining control. Therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affections, evil conspicuousness, and covetousness, which is adultery, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. It says, in which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. That means you should have been walking in them a while back, but you shouldn't be walking in them again. But if you do, God is faithful and just to forgive you for all unrighteousness, which is found in 1 John 1:9. It says, but now ye also put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemies, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you put off the old man and his deeds. Christ wants us to be a living new creature, a creature that is alive, that has been transformed by the renewing of our mind, that is different. And the culture today is ineffective towards us. That means we are saved by our faith through Christ, through grace, of course, but we are also saved that our faith has been finished, that greater is he that is in us than he is in the world, that we have overcome the world by our faith. We have overcome the world by our faith. That means faith in what God has said in the Bible, because if we decide we want to be in the world and we want to do the things that are in the world, the things that everybody else is doing, you can't be saved, folks, and go to heaven doing everything else that everybody else is doing. And need me to say that, unfortunately, hell is hot, and hell is forever. So, a lot of people, I'm not trying to be funny enough, so don't take me the wrong way, but just recently, me and my wife have been, I've been looking for another church, and there's some criteria that I have, but I've been to a few churches, I've been church office. And I'm going to go ahead and say it is not because I'm in a religious world. And that's what people sell themselves short. And they don't, just like buying a house. You're not going to just go to the first church and say, oh, okay, I'm here. Well, anyway, for the last, like, year, I've been to a few churches, and my friend that I hang out with, we're doing the ministry also together, we noticed something, that these people don't preach against sin. They don't preach against they don't tell you what you should not and should be doing. Now, they're taking it for granted that we should already know. Which is the truth, we should know. But I want you to tell me where I shouldn't go and what I should not be doing, because you remember, I want to know that you're not doing it too. So you need to preach to me and tell me how to live. Now, some people out there are going to church, getting full off the preacher, and don't pick up their Bible until the next service, and then sometimes they miss a couple of services. So if you're a preacher, if you're living off your preacher's preaching, you better be getting a mouthful of what we should and should not be doing, because if you know you shouldn't be sleeping with your boyfriend and you're doing it anyway because your preacher didn't tell you. I'm just being funny because I know you're supposed to pick up the Bible. But I'm just telling you what the preacher's not telling y'all these days. And he's not telling us that we can't do this and that. I mean, everything's lawful for me. Well, everything's lawful for you to sleep with your boyfriend? That's not what the Bible says. It says you need to be married. We need to get married out there. And if a lot of people don't cut this off, they don't want to hear about this. My numbers aren't going to go up because people want to hear about this. The preachers, they want to see, a lot of preachers want to make the body feel comfortable. And that's not what we're here to do. We're not here to make y'all feel comfortable. I'm not here to make y'all feel comfortable. I'm going to love on you, but I ain't going to make you feel comfortable. I'm going to tell you the truth. You know, your best thing is somebody needs to tell you. Well, therefore, you're going to go out in public and embarrass yourself. You know? So if you are somebody who loves you, they're going to tell you, you know, or can you help change his diet? I mean, can we do this or her diet? Can we do this? Can you do that? A lot of times people breast things because they don't use the bathroom enough, you know, and people don't get that. That's a diet, that's what God put that there for, because he's probably telling you, he should be telling your friends around you, somebody that you're not, you fucked up. And they say, well, anyway, that's beside the point. Well, I'm trying to make a point that if the benefit is, you know, but I take care of what's making that happen, and I brush my teeth and then move on, you know. And my life is happier because somebody told me the truth. Well, eternity is going to be much happier if you listen to the preacher. Because there are many people out there today who are believing that they go to a couple concerts and they come up front and say, Lord, you know, forgive me for my sins, and then they go back and live like normal. That's not what God wants us to do. He wants us to sacrifice our life for him and live for him on a daily basis. That means set our affections permanently on things above, not things on earth. Now, we do live on earth, and God has not taken us from the earth. So we must understand that God has not taken us from earth, but as far as Christians are concerned, we are to give our lives to him in purity. Now, God will purify us and cleanse us. It says in 1 John verse 9, chapter 1, that he is faithful and just to forgive us for our sins. But we have to acknowledge that we are sinners, and we have sins, because of daily a relationship with Christ means repentance with Christ on a daily basis, not just on a, you know, when you do communion. You're supposed to be daily purifying yourself before God. And whatever you know that you did wrong, you're supposed to be doing that. And somebody that said that they, you know, and I used to be addicted to various, mean, I was an alcoholic. That's just having got to free me from those things, you know. And in order for that to happen, he had to free my mind. He had to conquer those thoughts. And those thoughts were sent by the devil. So I had to, according to God's word, learn how to not think about the things that were coming to my mind and understand that, you know, sometimes these thoughts might not be your own thoughts. And sometimes people's lives are so far away from them where they cannot tell anymore that maybe, just maybe, I need to slow it down and find out what exactly, how do I feel, you know, not how do I feel, but how many unusual thoughts are coming to you at different times, because sometimes it seems so natural that it's just building off of human emotions, but Satan, so he's been looking at this for thousands of years, and he knows exactly how to manipulate human beings into doing what he wants them to do, because he's been doing it for so long that he's not afraid to just because human beings are so natural that if you got mad at your wife, or you know, if you got mad at somebody who's cheating, you know, your husband, those are natural emotions. But sometimes later on, like a year from after that person cheating, you only forgive them, you still bringing it up. You know, you need to really think about why am I still bringing this up? You know, like if your husband or wife did something, or your friend did something, or your brother did something, and you're still bringing it up a year later, maybe you might want to think that Satan might have given you the idea to bring it up. Because the thoughts are so natural that we're willing to adopt them as our own. But see, if we read the Word of God enough, we know that the Word of God says to forgive 70 times 7. So we won't bring that up anymore. And we would go on to forgive that person and be able to not bring it up, which just that alone causes strife, not alone. Now you have the ordeal that you have to put up with that may cause strife. And there is a lot of things that cause strife. And in our lives, some things are ridiculous. Some things that we argue about is ridiculous. Some things we argue about is like, wow, I can't believe we argued about that. And sometimes people are so prideful that they're not going to bring that up. I can't believe we argued about that. They're not going to bring it up because they were deeply stupid. Well, they really thought about it and said to themselves, well, am I willing to ruin my weekend or ruin our trip off of fucking around who forgot the sandwiches? Of course, if you're hungry, you don't have no money, that's fine. But if you got a little change, just say, okay, we either go back home and get them, or, you know, we go on about our business. But anyway, so getting to the point of all things, Satan is here to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And he does it subtly, and he does it quietly, and he is not going to make a big noise. He is not going to get any worship until the tribulation period. There are only spots of demonic worship across America, across the world, but he is not going to particularly ask you to worship him. He's just not going to do that right about now. But in the tribulation period, he will have people worshiping him. Now, are they worshiping him now? Yeah, like I said, in spots, but they're not worshiping him in droves. So he's very subtle, and his system is working to a point where he is using culture to bring people to himself. He's using culture to bring people to his throne. And he's using nowadays, you see the kid, this is July 29, 2010, and now he's putting on all these sorcery movies and witch movies where he is sooner or later causing society to slowly come towards hell. And he has done a great job at that. And he's also deprived the family, the culture, homosexuality has been ran rampant. alcohol, drugs, selfishness. Believe it or not, those ones I just mentioned aren't that harsh as much as getting people to be selfish, looking at themselves as prideful, you know, self-worship. I'm better than you, me, society. As long as we can get people to focus on themselves, in due time, with all those things I was just mentioning, and the movies and Hollywood and all those things, he's eventually going to have people worship him. And when is it coming? Pretty soon. So, with that being said, if you're out there and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal favorite, ask him to reveal to you his will for your life. And notice I didn't say ask him to come into your heart. I just asked him, ask him to reveal his will for your life. Live for God daily. Ask God to save you and to live for him daily. People are not willing to give up this life. Money, the almighty dollar, is killing people as well. You want that almighty dollar. That almighty dollar is not going to do nothing for y'all, folks. The almighty dollar is going to push you in. And the bad thing is, the money that we're serving right now, the fiat money system, that means the dollar bill is backed by nothing. So you're putting all your guarantee and all your hope into that dollar bill. Now, life, we have to survive. We do survive. We need to survive. We got kids. We got family. Yeah, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying as far as focusing on the cares of this life, that they should overtake you as a thief. Because that day will overtake you as a thief. And when it does, all hell is going to break loose in you. And that's going to be one of my future shows, is how do we know what to do after the rapture of the church? If you miss the rapture of the church, how do you know what to do? That's going to be something we're going to look at. And also, I've decided to go on a little bit longer. So if the phone hangs up, that means we're done. Okay. But the age of accountability is the age in which God was determined that the person was able to understand the gospel. So the rapture happens when the church is gone and they vanish in the twinkle of an eye. What is the age of accountability? Is the age of accountability 12? Is it 13? Is it 14? Does it depend on the person? Which I believe that's the answer. It depends on the person. But the age of accountability, because I think it's sad to think of a child that's like 12 years old, 13, 14, even 14, who did not understand life well and had to go to hell. I think that's really sad, folks. Matter of fact, I think that's really sad, super sad. Especially if a 7 or 8 year old has to go there. I mean, I just don't believe that's the case, and I'm praying that it's not the case, that it goes higher than we think, but it depends on the person as well, okay? Because our culture is being deluded into believing that, actually, they don't believe in anything. They don't believe that, a lot of kids believe that there is a God, but a lot of kids don't believe there is a Satan, or they might believe it's a Satan, but they don't really give him any thought. And Satan is just here, like I said earlier in the program, just to make you think that he is not here. But anyway, I'm not in front of a computer screen or anything like that, but I am going to read this right quick, and then we're going to change the subject right quick. This phone may cut off. I still got a few minutes, so I'm going to go a little bit over time. So if you just go click when I'm talking, then forgive me. But anyway, the Bible study, I'm in Psalms 51. It says, and it's David talking. It says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sins. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sins is ever before me. Now, when you get like that, then you are saved. Against thee only have I sinned, such as this, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest God himself, and be cleared when thou judgest. Behold, I was shaken in iniquity, I mean, so before he was born, and I sinned, and in sin did my mother conceive me. So by blood, the father, of course, of the child, but before I came out, I was a sinner. And behold, thou desire of truth in the inward parts, and in the hinder parts thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyperhypsol, and I shall be cleansed. Watch me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sin, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy way, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of the righteousness, of thy righteousness. And you'll notice how this individual knew that they were sinners. They were a sinner. And a lot of times today, even in the church world, we don't have any idea that we are sinners. I want to read something else right quick that's found in James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourself, therefore. Okay, hold on. Okay, let's go back. It says in verse 5, do you think that the scriptures saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? So the spirit of God that dwells in true believers is really on the verge to wanting to know us through, you know, and Jesus Christ is the one wanting to know us. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he said, God resist the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. And remember what David was just saying, create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within me. So God is the one who is going to do this. But God is looking for a humble heart, not a proud heart, a humble heart. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your heart, ye double-minded. So, it also says in verse 10, it says, humble yourself in the sight of God, of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. So God is looking for a humble and a contrite heart, a heart that is workable and mendable, a heart that actually comes to God and says, I am a sinner. I'm a sinner daily. I'm not just a sinner or that one time before I go to Billy Graham Crusade. I'm a sinner at all times. I'm a sinner, and I need Jesus. And a lot of people believe that they can just, you know, put everything before God, including their kids and their husband and their wives, and put their girlfriend and boyfriend or, you know, their coach or their teacher or even preacher before God. You can't do that. You got to put God first. That's why God says, if you're not willing to love me, if you're not willing to hate your brother, you know, mother, father, sister, brother, cousin, for my sake, you're not worthy of the kingdom of God, you know. And the Bible says that the love of many shall wax worse, cold. So the very people you're putting in front of God will one day backstab you. And I'm not saying that, I'm not saying everybody, I'm just saying a lot of people will turn you in. If you hear left behind and you decide to become a Christian, all those people that you relied on after the rapture of the church and the tribulation period started, all those people that you rely on is going to probably end up turning you in if you try to serve God. So you need to think a lot about that. Now, is that a good way to look at it? No, probably not. I'm probably just being a little bit harsh here. But you have to figure out, you have to count the cost. Jesus said that a person who looks back at the plow is not worthy of the kingdom of God. You know, and a lot of us do look at me and look back at the plow, and we end up, you know. But I believe that on this all said and done, we know exactly what he meant by that. We're going to say, wow, oh, I see what he meant by that. He meant that people who look back are prone to one day solidly take that look that Lot's wife took and turn into a pillar of salt. And that is not a good thing. But anyway, it says in 1 John chapter 1, it says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and the truth in the word is not in us. What did Jesus say to the church of Philadelphia? He said, you have kept my word. He said, you have kept my word. Now, I'm going to go ahead and read that. He says, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength. And that's very key right there, because you have a little strength, and God is willing to work through you, and has kept my word, and has not denied my name. So a lot of people who are in the world have denied Jesus' name by being engulfed in the world. And what did it say? I'm going to go ahead and read it in 1 John 2:15. I'm going to go back to this. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And who is the prince of the power of the air? Satan. So Satan's priority, the whole show up, Satan's priority, and I'm running out of, my thing is, my bar is on red, so I'm running out of time. So Satan's priority is to knock Christians off balance and to get them to look back towards the world and turn into a pillar of salt. His objective is to get the Christian to be weakened greatly by the cares of this life, by the lust of the eye, by the lust of the world, to get them to go back and to sin and to look at porn, to go to clubs, to not only that, just sit on the couch and watch Dallas or you know, American Idol, reruns of Dallas, of course. He wants you to just waste your life and not be effective for the kingdom of God. And that's one of the main things he's doing. He does not want you to be effective for the kingdom of God. If he can, he's going to come to steal and destroy you and your family. If he can get your son to go out and drink and drive and kill him, that's what he wants to do. He wants to kill people. He does not want people to go to heaven. For the unsaved, on the other hand, he wants them to completely stay away from the church. But if they have to go to church, go ahead and listen to a phony pastor who do not care about you. And by the way, if anybody called in today, I'm not at my switchboard. I'm at the park. I'm at a park where I live at, my town, my hometown. So just remember that. I apologize. And God bless you if you did, because I'm not looking at the switchboard. But anyway, sinners are to be kept far away by mind. they can be far, far away by body, but he really does not care if you attend church, as long as he can get you to play religious games with God, and as long as he can get you to think you're right with God. If the Bible says my people perish for lack of knowledge, they also perish for distorted knowledge. That means that they do not know the truth. They're not abiding in God's word. They're looking at the world. They're looking at the Bible and a wisdom like in the only wisdom, they're looking at the Bible in a psychological way. They're looking at the Bible and their life's experience. They're interpreting the Bible by their life's experience rather than the Bible interpreting their life. They are not in the Word. They're only letting the preacher tell them what they're supposed to be thinking, so therefore they can literally say, well, why are you talking about the unsaved at church? Because the terrorists are growing up with the weeds, my friend. The terrorists are growing up in the church. The devil has sown the terrorists in with the wheat. So at the time of harvest, at the time of the rapture of church, God would separate those, and the Christians will be in a sky with the Lord, and the phonies will go through the tribulation and continue on. By then, church will be against the law. And that is coming as well. Now, real quickly, I don't think I'm going to be able to make it to these next 15 minutes, but praise God. Actually, 19 minutes. So let's see if we can make it. But we thought that some things would have started happening by now, but praise God it did not, because the longer it takes, this is kind of a selfish thing to say, the longer it takes, the less the Christians have to go through, if it is this year. But we are on the precipice of climatic changes in our world, and the longer it takes for God to do something, if this is the year, the longer it takes for God to do something, the worse it's going to be. And if he does it at the last minute, a course of 4 weeks, that means there's going to be climactic events happening where some people might not even get it. I believe some people are going to return back to Christ, but the Bible does not focus in on an end-time, last-minute revival. It just doesn't. It mostly talks about some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So it is talking about God coming in the last days to root out wickedness, but it did not talk about the last days. It also talked about in Timothy that they gave a long list of how society would be just before Jesus comes back. And that's exactly how it's going to be. It's not going to be where people think it's going to be. Or the Bible reads in 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of themselves, covetous, boastful, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, petty, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness," there it is, "but denying the power thereof." There are people who go to church, who are out in the world, who go to church, have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. The power to save, the power to heal the sick, the power to prophesy the future, all that stuff, that they are denying that power, but they have that form of godliness. They can talk it, they can walk it, they can do all the stuff, but they're not really born again. And the Bible says that many used to call me Lord, Lord in that day, but I just said I never knew you. There's a lot of people who say that they know God, but don't really know God. It comes from the heart, folks. It's a heart thing. Now, you can feel it. You know when you're saved because that heart is gripped towards God. Just like you'll be gripped towards a boyfriend. A lot of people, or a girlfriend, like you just met this guy and you, "Oh, will you go with me?" "Yes, Father." "Oh, I just love him." You know, you tell you around all your girlfriends, "Oh, he just holds me and he pays all my bills and he does this and he just, oh, I just love him so much." And you know, and he breaks up with you and you just ruins your life for 6 months. Well, that heart that you have for him should be the heart that you have for God times six. But see, people don't understand that. People think we can just live and not love God more than anything. We're supposed to love God. I got a 2-year-old child that I just love to death. You know, I jump in front of a vehicle, I'm driving for him. But at the same time, I have to love God before I love him, which makes, when I love God first, it makes me a good parent. It makes me a good husband. And I'm just not getting that through my thick head. You know, my strife is in marriages all across America, and mine is not different. So God is telling me now, he says, you know what, all that strife got to go. And he is picking out in my life addictions after attitudes. And now he's like, you know what, you have to love your wife as Christ loved the church. But it gets difficult because we're still battling from the Garden of Eden for ownership and all this other stuff. I don't boss my wife around and stuff like that, but at the same time, you know, I'm seeking a partnership where my wife has the same wants and as I do, but you know, marriage doesn't work out like that sometimes. But God is good that he has given me healthy children and a healthy wife, and I pray for my wife and I pray for my kids, and I pray for y'all out there. I pray for America. You know, I come out of my front yard, I love to just be outside in the brisk wind. It's beautiful at night. We got a full moon, and we live outside of Spokane and Washington. We're living there with Heights, and we live out, and it's sort of a small town, if you want to call it that. It's still a lot of people that are normal. But I like to come outside because we live at a higher altitude, and I see like stars and the moon, and it's just beautiful. And I like to just pray to God, you know, just pray and give the glory to God, and just give God his due, because he's created this world. When you look up in the sky and see the beautiful stars that he's created, I'm just looking at a snapshot. I'm not looking at the whole entire galaxy and universe that he has created. Oh, my God. I mean, I don't even want to walk down to Spokane, Washington, let alone how big the universe is, you know. And God has created this thing for us to enjoy. But unfortunately, this thing is getting called to a completion. And getting back to Bible prophecy, I do believe that he's going to pull the plug. I think World War III is somewhere around the corner, and we're very close to World War III. And when you see World War III, if you're listening to this radio program, you know that this time I do believe that Jesus will come and intervene back in history. And we've gotten so far away from God that it sounds like a fairy tale. But everything about us is fairy tale. About we got real lives to live, and our lives is hectic. So I guess society, establishment has to bang us fantasy football and American Idol and all of them, you know, reality shows to, you know, to help us stay stable in the real life scenarios. But we're gonna need a lot more than that pretty soon. I'm talking as far as the culture is concerned, especially after Jesus Christ comes back for his church. But let us pray for our country. Let us pray for the people that live next to you. Pray for your neighbors. Get out of your comfort zone. Quit thinking about you. You know, me. You know, and it's hard when you got kids to just think about other people. And, you know, but we need to do that. You know, we need to be that individual person. You know, we're concerned about people. Now I'm talking about your relatives. I mean, of course you're going to be concerned about your relatives. So I'm talking about being concerned about the lady down the street. Instead of gossiping about her and laughing at the dress she has on, why don't you pray for her? No, I'm Christian, though. No, you're not. You're not a Christian. You're praying at work if you laughing at half the people trying to pray for a few other ones. It don't work that way. Prayer only works. salvation only works. Prayer, God is only going to listen to those who truly love him. Now, he might listen to a mom that's unsaved because eventually she's going to be saved. I don't know, that's up to God. But I don't think so. I believe from my standpoint, from what I read in the Bible, he does not listen to the prayers of the sinner. He just doesn't. Now, I'm not going to tell you, sit here and tell you that God has not answered some prayers of a mom that's not saved. I mean, I'm pretty sure maybe he's used that in her life to convince her otherwise that God is good. And she or he or whoever can't go out and say, well, I did it myself after I asked God. You know, cause some people are like that. They ask God, they put them in their back pocket when they're done with them. Okay, I'm done with God. Okay, now I'll never bring them back out because my boyfriend just quit me. Okay, now I'm putting them back in my pocket. Okay, I just laid on the bill or my money just vanished out of my account. Let me put them back out of my pocket. Okay, I need a job. I want to work with the CBS, the NBC. Let me put them back in my pocket when I'm done. I'm pulling them back out again and put them back in the pocket like it's a game. God is not a game, folks. He created us. I got 10 more minutes to see if we can survive in 10 minutes. But God has created us, folks. I think I'm going to do some more shows out here because I'm digging it out here. I'm really cool. It's really nice out here at this park. It's in my hometown, LA Heights. Don't come and kill me or anything because it's just. But a lot of people, let me speak to this. I have some people that are following me on Blog Talk Radio and YouTube who are really anti-rapture. And if you notice, the people who believe in the rapture don't spend their time trying to follow the people who don't believe in one. I mean, we really don't have the time. And I don't really spend that much time trying to defend the rapture because I believe it so much, I just don't defend it. It's when you don't believe what you believe, therefore you try to prove it, and you try to chase after all the other ministries that you feel are successful. But and when it's all said and done, we'll figure it out pretty soon. Just if it is the end time, we're going to figure it out pretty soon. I was talking to this guy that was a potential guest on my show, and we were all right for a second. He had called me because I had left a message, and he called me back. And we were all right for a second. We were talking on the phone. I said, oh, yeah, this guy might be a good guest. And all of a sudden, he kind of opened up his big mouth. And all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, maybe not. You know, I won't be calling this guy back. But he was just saying some of the craziest stuff. And of course, I say some crazy stuff, too, according to people who are not saved. I probably say some craziest stuff as well. But I believe that there is a rapture of the church. And I believe that there is a time coming where millions and millions of people will vanish off the face of the earth, and some people will go to the crazy of. And I believe moms will be missing children from ages 14 all the way down, maybe 13 all the way down, I don't know, it depends on the person. And that would do some damage to somebody, mental damage. But I'm not glorying over the fact that the crazy house will be a lot more full in those days. And that's going to be a sad time, folks. People that you love are gone. Chaos, the street. And I don't even think we really know how much chaos it's going to be. Anyway, I got a whole posse full of girls that's going to go right through me in a few seconds. And you're probably going to hear them sound like a bunch of goblin hens. But, I just saying that to let y'all know who it is. Anyway, God is good. God is gracious. He has set people free from the bondage of sin all across the world. And he is loving people today. And he will continue to love people today. What has God have for everybody? He has a mission for everybody. He wants everybody to be and understand that they are important in God's eyes. And if that is the case, then God is seeking people to worship him. And if he could get you, my friend, he is going to get you, my friend, to come over to his kingdom and be a worker and a warrior for him, because time is short, and he wants you to be effective for his kingdom. The reason I'm hesitating so much is there's so many things going on. I got kids that have volleyball. I got a posse of girls sitting right behind me. And I'm going to start interviewing all these people. I got the guts to steal most of the time. So I'm always nervous when I start. But I have the guts to steal. But it's not going to be live, because if it's live, I'm going to be a little bit shaken up, because live is not always going the way you want it to go. And pretty one of these days, I'm just going to come off with a live program for 3 hours, and I'm just going to go out. We're going to spend like another hour just preaching, and then after that, we're going to go out and talk to people about real life situations, and it's always going to be about Jesus eventually. Sometimes we might do an ice to break the ice, and let people know that, hey, and there's no way to put it on pause, because we're going to be live doing that. So we have to find a big area to do it with, and we just need to do it. I am on live radio at its best. But anyway, when you know that you're saved, you know that you're saved when you care about people. You look at people as if God can be potential children of God rather than potential people that are going to hell. We don't look at them like that. We look at them with love and compassion, and not as a bunch of retards either. Sorry for using that word. I apologize for people who take that word and it's sentimental to them, but I'm just saying it. We have to look at people as aliens. We are the ones that are aliens. We are pilgrims here, living our lives for Jesus Christ. But we're going to restart doing Buckwild and YouTube videos where we just go out and interview people and not give it on. And that we're not to make people, like our ministry just because we're here to give out the straight word of Jesus Christ, and we make enemies. And that is the most important thing. It's not the important thing that we make enemies, but the most important thing is we keep the truth, because the truth will bring us in. The true gospel of Jesus Christ will bring offense. And it is coming very, very soon. Very, very soon. What do you think about the coming of the Lord? If you have to, do me a favor and favor this on Facebook application. Give us some props. Just favor this on your Facebook channel if you can, and also tweet us if you can, because if you go to the page on Facebook, on Blog Talk Radio, there's an application under there to share. Please feel free to share. Like I say, in a few days we're going to start interviewing people, and we're going to we at least going to do it once a month. Once a month, we're going to go out, we're going to just interview people and take some interviews live. But first, we're going to start taking interviews as a record. We're going to record interviews, and then we're going to take the interviews live. But I have no theme song today. I'm surprised that everything made it this long. I'm surprised that we were able to do it this long. I'm really surprised, since the battery is very low. And now we're going to end the show. We don't have any theme song going off, so if you don't know Jesus, ask him to forgive you for your sins, and he is going to become your Lord and Savior, not just your Savior, but Lord and Savior. He is in charge. He's the one in charge. He's the one to lead you. The Bible says pick up your cross daily and follow him. You must understand that you're a sinner. You are a sinner that God needs to forgive. I'm saying the same thing over and over again because it kind of becomes monotonous when you keep looking at the phone, making sure it don't hang up on you, trying to see if anybody's going to come and shouting your phone real quick. But God bless everybody out there. Y'all have a wonderful, wonderful day. Pray for the nation. Pray for the president. Pray for everybody out there. But God bless y'all. Y'all have a wonderful day.